forever now. Till death you'll be in our hearts we vow. Oh my Imam,
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا رحمة للعالمين أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد. والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على محمد. أما بعد, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise and glory belongs to Allah, the one who created this universe and allowed us to live in it and made everything subservient to our needs. In this creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed those tools that are necessary for the human being to grow in the physical form and also in the spiritual form. And by giving those tools to the person, gave the person the choice to make himself or herself in any fashion or manner that they want to. Gave the individuals the blessings that are materialistic, gave him the blessings that are spiritual. When we think about the materialistic blessings, we forget about the one that is keeping you alive. That blessing which is keeping you alive is oxygen. We breathe all the time, we use this blessing all the time, and we are unconscious of the fact that we are breathing. We are unconscious of the fact that it is our lifeline. We only get to know that this is a blessing and it is our lifeline when we have a difficult time breathing. But until and unless we get to that point, we do not realize the blessing that we have. So in order to have human beings realize the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us, sometimes what He does is takes those blessings away. By taking them away, the human being gets to know that this was a blessing, and now that I don't have it, I need to ask for it, and this time that I'm going to ask for it, it is going to be worthy in my eyes. You ask those individuals that, you know, can't breathe, and they have to be carrying oxygen wherever they go. Recently, I saw an article where a woman who had polio, she had to live, and she's still alive, for 60 years, in an 800-pound lung machine. And if you look at it, it is actually a chamber. It is a chamber in which she is lying down for 60 years. And she cannot get out of that chamber. And that chamber weighs about 800 pounds. For her to be able to breathe, she has to just lie down in that chamber. And without that, there is no life for her. And we, who can breathe easily, and we don't even recognize that we are actually being blessed, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to recognize, either He will take it away from someone else for their own good, and also allow us to take a look at them so that we can learn a lesson and realize how big of a blessing it is. When I read that article and I saw that chamber, I could not imagine how I could survive living, just lying down for 60 years. And what that chamber is doing is making her breathe. The rest of her organs are fine. She just can't breathe. You know, the life support that you go and you see in the hospitals, that life support machine is not built to keep you alive for 60 years. So what they built, now for them to be able to build something that can produce oxygen for that person to get infused into the blood is an 800-pound machine. When you look at your own lungs, they almost don't really weigh anything comparatively to the 800-pound machine. And they're not a massive thing. They're a small thing as big as your chest. So the philosophy or the logic or the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us recognize about blessings is to take them away. And when He takes them away, if we lose patience, we are not able to recognize that blessing. Instead, we become complacent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it was amazing. I'll keep come back to that article again. It was amazing. The woman's face had a smile. That picture that was taken, she had a genuine smile on her face. She had come to the point where she was being patient and not complacent. Although she has to lie in that bed for 60 years and have that 800-pound chamber give her enough oxygen so she can live. So that when you look at the difficulties of others, and after looking at the difficulties of others, you recognize the fact that you are still in a better position than others, that does not make you complain. That makes you become, what? Thankful. So this is the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to raise us. This is the way that we are going to grow in our physical form and also our spiritual form. And where you need that sabr, where you need that perseverance, is when you are faced with those difficulties that take your blessings away. And a lot of the times, the reason why those blessings are taken away is the fault of our own. There are certain sins that we end up committing that changes the blessings. In Dua Kumail, we ask for forgiveness of those sins that change the blessings. And one of the sins that Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentions that if a person performs that sin, then the blessings are going to change. And what is that? You would not even think of it as a sin. He says that if a person had a good habit and they leave that good habit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change his blessing. Meaning what? Let's say you had a good habit of reciting Quran every day after Fajr. Now you kept that good habit and you continued with it, but one day came and you stopped doing that. You let go of that good habit of yours, that is going to become a reason for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change the blessings. Or a person deciding not to participate in the good actions. The person is not sinning. They have stopped participating in good actions. They have stopped taking the opportunities to do good. That Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam also says that it changes the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we want the blessings to be there, and we want the blessings to be there all the time, we have to come to this understanding that not all the time you're going to be able to have those blessings. So while you have them, take worth of it. Take value of it. Because they could be taken away from you. The people who get old, the one of the blessings that they think about the most is what? When they were young. Like a person like myself, I don't think it was this particular member, but he seems to have grown. But I think the member was in another hall. I remember being there in 2008. And now that I am, in front of you in 2013, when I look at that picture and I look at this picture, right, there is a lot of difference. And time has passed. And that youth of mine, I am being told every time I look in the mirror that now you are losing that blessing. Every white hair is calling upon me to tell me that you are losing that blessing, have worth of it. Then now that you still have some black hair, take some heed to it, that you are still a little bit young, and you should take that as a blessing and utilize your time in the right fashion and manner before it goes away. But when you are young, one of the things that young people are impatient. Right? Like, for example, if you play basketball, you want to be LeBron James the next day. That I'm playing basketball, so after tomorrow I should be as good as LeBron James. Or, I mean, in your other sports as well, I don't know, I just chose basketball. But in other sports as well, like soccer as well, you want to be the, Pele used to be, like, I don't know who you want to call nowadays. Who's it, who's nowadays, what is it? Ronaldo, okay, Ronaldo is fine, okay, all right. So, a person will start playing soccer and they would want to be Ronaldo the next day. And the person who's older, they look at them and they tell them, listen, my son, you cannot become Ronaldo the next day. Ronaldo started playing, let's say, when he was 5 or 10, and he kept on trying and trying and trying and practicing and practicing and practicing and was consistent and to the point where he developed the skills that were necessary. But if he had stopped in between, he would not have become Ronaldo. So you who have started on this path, what you need to remember is that you need to keep practicing, you need to be consistent, you need to be persistent, you need to be in the right direction, you need to develop those skills. You cannot become arrogant on those skills. You need to submit to those individuals who are teaching you. And then if you continue doing that, after 15 to 20 years of effort, you will become renowned. But if you don't do that, you never will be. Right? True or not? I mean, those guys are also another factor where they have to submit to the will of shaitan so that they can do all the signs and, you know, praise their Lord and Master who has given them the opportunity to develop and to get to that point where they become famous. Nobody gets famous without submitting to the will of shaitan nowadays. And it's even to the holiest of holy things as well. Today, the holiest of holy things, as the member of the Prophet, a lot of the times nobody becomes very famous without submitting to the will of shaitan. And once they submit to the will of shaitan, masses come, 400,000 people come to listen to them. They are invited at this place, that place, protocol, this limousine, security, you know, and they become like rock stars. And then people take their autographs and so forth. To become famous and to submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you might have less people who will know you. But the ones who will know you would be people like Salman Farsi, Ammar Yasser, Abu Zar Ghaffari, Miqdad. It will be those individuals who will know you that you are the master after the Prophet. And it is your will that needs to be submitted to, and that what promise we made in Ghadir, we need to keep it, we need to be steadfast, we cannot break our allegiance to you. And if you continue doing that, and you have those individuals who keep coming to you, one day, the four doesn't remain four. They turned out to be, how many? How many do we have around the world? 300 million? 7 billion people in the world. But from the four people who the Prophet called as Shia, how many do we have now? Let's say 300 million. 300 million people claiming to be the Shias of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Yet in 300 million, it becomes very difficult to find an Abu Zar. To find a person who is truthful, that there is no one more truthful than Abu Zar under the sky. So you try to go look through the 300 million Shias and try to find an Abu Zar. Try to find a Salman Farsi. Try to find Miqdad. Try to find Ammar. Try to go and find. How many will you find? Why is it that we have come to that particular place that we do not have those characteristics that the Shias of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam had? Because we are losing patience. It takes patience to be steadfast. It takes patience to not lie. It takes patience to be truthful. Right? So, coming back to it, the blessings that you have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you. You need to recognize them. The recognitions of the blessings is that you spend those blessings in the fashion and manner and the direction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed and made the blessings to be spent that way. Is tongue a blessing? It is a blessing. Right or no? You know, the most amount of people who will go to the hellfire is because of this. So now is it a blessing? It is that person's tongue who kept lying, who kept doing backbiting, who kept doing tale-telling, who kept hurting other individuals. That person changed that blessing into a nikmah that became a source for that person to go into the hellfire. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given that person a blessing. But through their power of choice and through their actions, they decided that this blessing was actually going to become a source now for them to be in the hellfire. Right? So the change of blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, in order for us to remain in that state, we need to have what? Patience. This is the last time that, well, probably not the last time, but in the 3 days that we had with you, today is the third day. And I'm not sure how many things have remained in your minds and in your hearts. And I'm not sure after how many of those things that remain in your minds and hearts, whether you're going to act upon them or not. Right? I'm sure that some of you have taken something and you will try to act upon it. But this is the last speech that we're going to have. I thought of it that we will conclude. But the way we will conclude is to have you tested. Those individuals who were not there present in the last two speeches, they don't have to answer because they don't know what we talked about. Right? But the ones who were present here, if you can help me out so that I can also recall what I have said, it would be wonderful. So normally I don't say, but now, because with the test is going to begin, everything, every time you begin something, we say salawat. So you're going to say salawat and we'll start the test. We said in the beginning, as far as the importance of sabr is concerned, we said that sabr is required in what? Sabr is required in? Three situations. One was not to sin, obeying Allah, and hardships. Alhamdulillah. You can recite the salawat. The sisters can recite the salawat for brothers, and the brothers can recite the salawat for the sisters. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. No, that was actually not what we said in the beginning, but it's fine. What we said in the beginning is, in order for you to do any action in this world, you require patience. If you want to become a lawyer, if you want to become a doctor, if you want to be an IT professional, if you want to have faith, if you want to submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want to not sin, if you want to unite, If you want to stand up against an oppressor, if you want to have the Imam of the time come, if you want to become the friends and followers of the Imam, if you want to have a peaceful marriage, if you want your kids to be raised in a specific manner, if you want anything or any action that you want to perform in this world, you need patience. Those three things was part of that. Right? And also I mentioned that to listen to me, you also require patience. I forgot about that. And for me to speak to you also requires patience. Right? So one thing is that we need to understand that all of the actions, even good and bad, like remember the bad actions, anybody remembers that requires a lot of patience? Watching Bollywood in a row like three movies. Plays Xbox 360 for 4 hours. Playing PS3 or PS4. Playing cricket. Well, cricket can be good. Okay. But if it is... So the reason why we said cricket is because you get into a state where you are playing for 4-6 hours and you do not have this thought come to your mind, maybe you should stop. Then maybe there's other things more important than you spending 6 hours on the pitch. Maybe there is homework that needs to be done. Maybe there's chores that needs to be done. Maybe you need to spend time with your family, but you get into that state where you are not thinking and you're just continuing. It also requires patience, right? What else did we say? Where does patience live in your body? In your blood. So basically, genetic traits that so far the technology says that genetically you are inclined towards certain traits, that you receive those traits by your parents. And your parents receive those traits by their parents. And their parents receive their traits by their parents. So you can go as far back as you want. All of the traits that human beings have, they are coming from a father and a mother. But those traits that they had were pure. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was infallible, masoom. Bibi Hawa alayhi salam, masoom, infallible. So where is it that you start off from a source which is masoom, which is infallible, does not have an iota worth of negative traits? How is it that the children of Hazrat Adam and Hawa alayhi salam today are in a state where they are fighting and they are killing each other all over the world? It is something that the angels had foretold. Right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I am going to put a representative on the face of this earth, and the angels objected to the fact, they said that this is going to create problems on the earth. It's going to shed blood. It's going to have fights. The reason why the angels were able to predict that fact was because when you look at your body is made up with things that are opposite. It has fire. What is the temperature inside? 98.6. And water boils at 100. 200 Fahrenheit? 212 Fahrenheit, sorry. 100 Fahrenheit probably gets warm. And 212 you would obviously die. But I forgot. So at 100, you 100, 104, 105, 105 temperatures probably, to the point where the person, if is weak or is young, possibility exists that they could, you know, have a serious effect on their lives. Okay, so there is fire, obviously, and then there is also cold. There is solid, there is liquid, there is air, there is solid. If you look at all of the body, you see that these are opposites. When the angels looked upon at the body of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, they predicted the fact that they are going to create bloodshed. But once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them about the asma, once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them the potential that He was putting into human beings, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them that these human beings that you are saying are going to shed blood, this is the level or status that they can come. The angels did what? They submitted. They did sijda. So the natural state of a person in reality is the fitrat of Allah is purity. And that purity was given to us by our father and mother. But through that purity that we were supposed to maintain, we did not maintain. And what we did, we corrupted it. The first corruption in that purity was a murder. And that impurity continued into the progeny of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and that continued to the point you have it right now, and that person who started that impurity is going to be punished for every murder that happens till the end of time. But that impurity started. Now that we have these impurities, does this mean that we are naturally inclined to shed blood, we are naturally inclined to commit sins, we are naturally inclined to be like oppressors? Is that what it is then? No, your natural state is purity. And if you have those traits that are taking you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or are impure states, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. So you know what is there as an inclination of bad, you know what is there as an inclination of good, you have been told that. And the person who's going to purify that and come to that state of purity, that is the person who's going to be successful. So although we have these traits in the blood, but that doesn't mean that we do not have a choice, that doesn't mean that we cannot change. That doesn't mean that we can continue in this life, all of our life, sinning. Your natural state is purity, you just need to clean it. You know how you clean your rims? You know how you clean your rims? No? You guys don't have cars with the alloy rims and stuff? No? Yeah, okay, so you don't have, huh? Okay. Maybe then we need to change the example. Do you know how you clean your keyboard sometimes? No, you've never cleaned your keyboard? Okay. So this is what you do, okay? You have seen the state that the keyboard came in. Right? It was all nicely packed, and it was like shiny, you know, it smelled like a brand new keyboard. It had no odors, no whatsoever, right? You opened it, you start using it. Are you intentionally trying to make the keyboard dirty? No. Your intention is to use the keyboard. But now when you go home, take that keyboard and go like this. Turn it over and then try to hit it. You will see the amount of disgusting things that will come out of that. You will not believe they were there. Because these impurities just sank into the curves of the keys, and when you kept looking at the keyboard, it kind of looked clean. But when you turn it over and shake it, you know what impurities that keyboard has. And it's the same thing for you. Everybody looks very nice in front of a Maulana. They're very muttaqi, praise God, they don't lie, they don't cheat, they speak politely, they're like, you know, as if they are angels that have come down from the skies, and that is what they are in their natural state. But when the Maulana leaves, as I will leave, and then they are in front of their friends, or they are in front of their mother and father and so forth, and all of a sudden they're changed people. The same person who was kissing the hand, who was bowing down, who was speaking very polite, and now is like a totally different person, right? So when you look at our state is a state of purity, but we have impured it. We have put those things inside, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. And unless and until we are shaken, unless and until we are put into hardships, we will not know what is inside of us as pure and what is inside of us as impurity. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to put you in difficulties. And these difficulties are for your own good, so that you can find out if you are really patient or not. If the difficulty doesn't come, how would you know that you are patient? If you do not get sick, how would you know that you are thankful to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessing of health? So therefore, expect in your life, and these are what the solutions we are coming to, okay? To have patience. So expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make you sick. Okay, unless you're Superman, I don't know if you are, but if you're not Superman, even Superman has kryptonite that makes him sick, right? So, just expect the fact that you're going to get sick. Once you expect the fact that you're going to get sick, you're not going to become complacent. If you expect that there's going to be traffic, what do you do? You don't, okay, so I knew there was going to be traffic, alhamdulillah. If one day there is no traffic, then you become like, what's going on? You know, it doesn't seem regular. 290 is supposed to be jammed right now and it is open, right? So, just expect it, that you are going to be put into hardships. When you are expecting the traffic to be there, or when you are expecting that you will get sick, you are not going to be in a shock and you're not going to complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to give you those hardships. Expect them. Don't think that you'll always have money. There are people who were rich when they slept. When they woke up, they were poor. There were people who were poor when they slept, they woke up, they were rich. Expect that you are going to get poor. And you can also expect that you could get richer. Right? Both things. But expect that you are going to get, because when you get richer, it's not really something that you complain. You take that as I have done it. But when hardship comes, you say God has done it. When something good comes, you say I have done it. When hardship comes, you say God has done it. And when you say God has done it, you become complacent, and mashallah, you complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what are we going to do? We're going to expect to be put into hardships. You know how you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you? Do you know how you know? The most amount of hardships that come your way, it is the most amount of love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for you. He says that when I love someone, I immerse that person into the ocean of darkness, of difficulties. I put him down in that ocean. And he would say, this is like opposite love, right? But you know that hardships are the best thing for you. Why? Because those hardships will turn you over. Like that keyboard, those hardships will turn you over, would create that movement, that shock inside, that you'll get to know what are your purities and what are your impurities. And then you'll be able to purify yourself. And if you do find purities, you'll become thankful to the will of Allah. Okay? So what are we going to do? Expect failures. Accept hardships. Accept sickness. We're going to expect all of that, and we're going to see that as a mercy and a sign of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just a little bit of tuning that you need to do. If I'm put into difficulty, I'm going to say, thank you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for showing the love. I'm not going to complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, I will complain maybe to the point when I'm not in difficulty. I will say, why is it you're not, you know, you're not pleased with me, you're not happy with me? Because the difficulties has another thing. You remember Allah. He says that when I love somebody, I send them difficulties like a person who's gone away from their home sends a gift to the people that he loves so that they can remember him. Like for example, I'm here in Houston. If I want my kids to remember me, or if they had forgotten, what I'll do is I'll send them like a postcard, or I'll send them a gift or a package. And once they receive that package, they open it and say, oh, our dad is remembering us. Dad is showing love for us. Right? So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembers us, He's going to send us a difficulty so that we can remember Him. Like, this is actually what I'm trying to do to you, is condition you. You know, have you seen hypnotists? I'm a very bad hypnotist, but I don't have no pendulum. I have no, my voice is my asset. Right? I put you to relaxed state. People go to sleep. People are so calm. Right? And that's when you can accept hypnosis. Right? That's when you can self-hypnotize yourself. And then you wake up from your sleep, you don't know, but you have patience. Right? But in reality, what I'm trying is just putting ideas in your mind. And I'm telling you from right now, like, I'm doing this and I'm telling you. I'm putting suggestions in your mind. I am putting thoughts in your mind. I'm putting ideas in your mind that you take those ideas, those suggestions, and when you start looking at difficulties differently, you don't require patience. You require to be thankful. So that if you are in that state where you are looking at hardships and you're still being steadfast, you can move higher in your spirituality. Then now difficulties is not a matter of patience, but now difficulties is a matter of thanks. That you go in sujda and you say, thank you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for accepting my sacrifice. That you get into that state. Right? Okay. So what else did we say in our speeches? So we got you to that point. Then yesterday we explained Surah, what? Wal-Asr. Right? And you remember about everybody is going to be in loss other than who? The people who? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Right. So the first people, first is that these are the people who have conviction. How are you going to get convinced? How will you get convinced that you need patience? How will you get convinced that you need to read Quran? How will you get convinced that you need to read Namaz-e-Shab? How will you get convinced that you need to be truthful? How will you learn, or how will you get convinced to be respectful to your parents? How will it happen? Let's say, and it never happens though, but maybe one day it might. This member that the brothers were not able to, like 5-6 of them who were very strong apparently, were not able to lift this member. Remember when we had to change in the first day? They had a hard time lifting this member, right? So 6 individuals of our community, young and strong, they were not able to lift this member. But what if this happens, that this member starts elevating in the air? And you don't see nobody picking it up. You know, it just elevates and it's not that much to elevate to. But let's say it was to elevate up to the ceiling. What would happen? And then you will say, okay, whatever you're going to say, we're going to be convinced. Right? Because now we believe that what you are saying must be true because the member has lifted up in the air. That we need to listen to you. Is this the conviction that we need? Do we need the angels to come down from the sky? What do we need as a sign for us to have conviction? Have both? Sorry? What did you say? Have? Abd. Yeah. So what you need... what you need is taslim. Because you already have believed. You will not deny that the Prophet of Allah is the last Prophet, Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You've already seen the miracles in the Quran. You've already seen the miracle of Karbala. You've already seen the miracles when you go for the ziyarah of Imam Hussain.
اللهم صل على محمد.
You've seen enough of this universe as signs. And if you do not submit, regardless if you happen to be in front of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, where he lifts the ocean, you will not believe. So what is required for belief is submission. It is after submission that you develop conviction. It is after conviction that you reach the heights of nearness to will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So submission is part of it. Okay? Submission is part of it. So in submitting to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want you to make a promise. I know it's probably you're not going to take this promise very seriously, but make a promise to yourself that whatever I have not been submitting from today onwards, I will try my very best to submit to as much as possible. Because otherwise we are in loss. That I will submit in that fashion that I get convinced and I have conviction, and through that conviction I'm able to do such a hard task, which is amale salih. That I can do such a task that will have a benefit till the end of time. And then that benefit there will be till the end of time. What is the best amale salih? Is to advise each other with your own being as a role model for truth. That you are going to advise each other in action, not in words. If I say to you, don't lie, and I lie, what happens? My advice is not going to be of any effect. If I tell you to pray namaz and I don't pray namaz, you're not going to pray namaz. Nothing's going to happen. Because you see the contradiction. So tawasul bil haq is that you become that your whole action, your whole being in character, there is no contradiction. And when people see that, they get to, because this is the best form of telling people what the truth is. With your Sunni brothers, with your Christian brothers, with your Jewish brothers, with your Sikh brothers, with your Hindu brothers. They're brother in humanity, right? Be in a fashion where they do not see any contradiction in you. Live among them that you do not see, that they do not see a contradiction in you. And once that happens, they're going to get to the truth. And then tawasul bisabr. You remember how tawasul bisabr worked out? It show each other that you can sacrifice. If you tell somebody have patience, they should see it in your action, in your life, that you do sacrifices. And because you do sacrifices, that person will learn patience from you. That is why we learn patience from Karbala. Because they sacrificed. The atrocities that were committed and the way that they sacrificed and the way they handled, for us every other difficulty becomes small. Right or no? When you start thinking about your difficulties, and you start thinking about the difficulties that Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam had, your difficulty seems nothing. When somebody dies in Muharram, what do? You forget about them, you remember Imam Hussein. That sacrifice of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam is doing tawasul bis sabr, is actually producing results. Reason why our tawasoh bisabr is not bringing about results is we are not sacrificing ourselves. We're not sacrificing, we're just telling others to do that. Right? So you see now the conclusion? That you do have that as a seed. It is in your blood. You need to develop it. The way you're going to develop it is by submission. When you submit, you're going to have the power to be able to not sin. When you have the power not to sin, you're going to have the purity of the heart. Once you have the purity of the heart, you will obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll get to that state. When difficulties come, you are patient, steadfast on your difficulties. And if you develop higher, you get to the highest place. After shukr is fana. Fana is another topic. Is a state in which the person does not have a thought, in which there is no Allah. The person does not get a thought in which there is I. So the only thought that this person is having, only thing that this person is seeing, only thing that this person is listening to, only thing, only existence that this person feels is the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not feel it through him or herself. The before the person thinks of himself or herself, now is thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is, the way you can understand is when you become a father or when you will become a mother, you will stop thinking about yourself and you start thinking about the child. It is as if you don't exist anymore. In order for us to get there, we need to do this. And our example is in front of us. Karbala is there for us to get all of that. The examples of it you can see. Okay? And when you cry for Imam Hussain, and you should cry, it is his right that we cry for Imam Hussain. Because where he reached of becoming the most sincere slave of Allah, what people did with him was not what should have been done with him. The sacrifice that Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave, we did not take worth of that. The sacrifice that Bibi Zainab gave, we did not take worth of that. It is a place of crying. Remember Bibi Zainab, remember Imam Hussain, every time your thought comes to sin. If in the morning you're having a difficult time to get up for Fajr, this is the time to say, Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. I mean, if he is not going to give you the strength, who will? If he does not give you the patience, then who will? When you wake up and you open your eyes and your body is tired and you cannot lift yourself up. So say, Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. And you remember the time when Imam Hussein's body was shattered in wounds. And he could not lift himself up. But he submitted with all his strength that last sijda that he performed. When in front of you an opportunity comes to hurt the feelings of someone, just remember that this someone that you are trying to hurt their feelings, maybe they have love for Bibi Zainab Slamdan. And if that person has the love of Bibi Zainab Slamdan, Bibi Zainab loves this person too. And if you hurt their feelings, as it is the condition of love, you will hurt the feelings of Bibi Zainab Salaam Alaiha. A disrespect to a mu'min is a disrespect to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A disrespect to the lover of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is a disrespect to Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. You do not know how dear they are to Bibi Fatima Zahra salaam alayha. Do not hurt others' feelings. Remember Imam Sajjad, whenever you drink your water, whenever you eat your food, whenever you enjoy the blessings of freedom, of security, whenever you can walk in the sun with shoes on, whenever you can find shade in a hot day, whenever you see a prisoner, whenever you see someone who's away from their home, remember Imam Sajjad, he'll give you the strength. Imam Sajjad used to remember Imam Hussein at many places. When he used to eat, after fasting all day, and food was brought up in front of him, Imam Sajjad used to cry so much, so much. The tears would flow like water from his eyes and it would get into the food. When you eat, I know of some people that when they enjoy what they are eating, they start crying. When they eat food and they enjoy that food, they start crying. And the reason why they start crying is they remember that they were little kids who were hungry and thirsty for 3 days. Imam Sajjad used to go into the marketplace, and when he used to go in the marketplace, he would remember the time in Kufa, in Sham. My sisters, you, when you go where Namaram is going to look at you, when Namaram is going to look at you and you are not wearing the Islamic dress, you should remember the pain and suffering that Bibi Zainab felt in her heart that she wished. That she wished that somebody would throw a chadar to her. Somebody will give her hijab. Somebody will give her so that the men who were looking at her. Imam Sajjad, when he used to see someone slaughtering an animal, he always used to go to the person and ask that person that, listen, this animal that you are about to slaughter, have you given water to this animal? Have you given water to this animal? Because my father, who was thirsty for 3 days, his neck, which was dry, was cut with a dull knife. Oh Allah, we did not take worth of the sacrifice of Imam Hussein. Oh Allah, make us realize the sacrifice of Imam Hussein. Oh Allah, through that sacrifice, give us patience. Oh Allah, through that sacrifice, get us closer to yourself. Oh Allah, we are ashamed of our actions. Oh Allah, we are ashamed of our insanities. Oh Allah, we are ashamed of our shortcomings. Oh Allah, we are ashamed of our lack of knowledge. Oh Allah, we are ashamed of our behavior with others. Oh Allah, purify our souls and our hearts that we are able to have the conviction which is necessary to submit to your will. Oh Allah, accept all of our worships, although they are not worth of your acceptance. Oh Allah, accept our worships, our actions, even though they are impure, accept them out of your mercy. And if you still will not accept, then tell me the door that we can go and knock for our actions to be accepted. If it is the door of Imam Sajjad, we will knock on it. If it is the door of Bibi Zainab, we will knock on it. If it is the door of Imam Hussein, we will knock on it. Tell us the door that we can go to so that our actions that are not worth your acceptance can be accepted. Oh Allah, make us from the friends and followers of our Imam. Give us the opportunity to give everything that we have to our Imam. Oh Allah, increase in the levels of the martyrs who have given their lives for the sake of Islam. Oh Allah, free all of the prisoners around the world. Oh Allah, give us the strength to stand against the oppressors. Oh Allah, make our Imam come as soon as possible. Mata minasana.